Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Unseen Realms. This is Jennifer Snell, and we are here to talk about episode 55, In Search of Bigfoot, and here is my co-host.
Hi, this is Grace Anglad. Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay. It sounded like it was cutting off. Anyway, yeah, we're here to talk about this Bigfoot this week. Now, this is, I don't know what information you found, but this is information I found on the net. But I'll let you start.
Okay. You're kind of breaking up.
I know. Do you want me to call back in?
Yeah, call back in, please.
All right.
Okay. Okay, so while she's calling back in, I'll go ahead and start. Okay, so we it's a long story. okay, basically, we are doing some, let's just say, connecting with the galactics. And I've been doing a lot of channeling recently around this subject. Channeling, connecting with the galactic races. Hold on one second.
Hi.
Are you there now?
Am I coming coming in better?
Oh, much better, much better.
Cool. All right, go ahead.
All right, so I was just giving them kind of the background of how this all came to be. So we are doing some channeling with the galactics, and this is some work that I've been doing kind of on the side. And I connected with the Akashic Records, and there was a series called The Law of One, which you can Google it if you're interested in learning more about The Law of One. But I first heard about The Law of One through David Wilcock. And basically, my spirit guide said, go look at The Law of One, and we want you to talk about Maldek. Well, I had heard the name Maldek, but I wasn't quite sure what it was. So I went into The Law of One and did a search on Maldek. And it came back and it said that there had been this race of beings on a planet which was located between Mars and Venus around, I think, 700,000 years ago or more. And in a galactic war, this planet had been blown up, and the beings that were on the planet actually came to Earth and through an ancient stargate that was already in place. And these beings had come to Earth and located in what we would call the Northwest, which is pretty much Washington State, California, Idaho, Utah, and Oregon. And then they said that the being is Bigfoot. And I went, oh my gosh. And I just got chills up and down my body, and I knew it was real. And basically, they said that also the reason that this being, it's hard for us to catch, we'll quote, catch it. I hate to use that phrase, because it is actually a being. It's a human being. It might be a lower dimensional being, but it is a human being. And, you know, it has these powers to travel like interdimensionally, and that's why they can't, quote, catch it, and they have a hard time. But the other important, really cool thing that they said is the reason that everyone loves Chewbacca from Star Wars is because that's a Maldekian being as well. So George Lucas unknowingly is kind of refreshing the memory of these beings, and that they did come to Earth a very long time ago, and they still exist today, and it is real. Grace, did you want to add anything there?
Oh no, I'm not up in those dimensions. I'm down into the everyday stuff. You know, hoping that somebody from the the Bigfoot Research Association, every Bigfoot field researchers is going to call and go, hey, we have information for you. Okay, mine's more down to earth thing. I didn't even know. You know, we don't check in with each other before we do the shows. The only thing we check in with each other is to see what we're going to do with the topic. But we come at it from from different angles. And so so I found this place called the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization. And it's pretty cool. It's online. And I guess a group of them get together and go out, you know, Bigfoot sightings and huntings. And not hunt. I don't want to say hunt because I don't have that impression they're out hunting. I have the impression that they're gathering scientific evidence for Bigfoot. And according to them, there have been 5,100 Bigfoot sightings in the continental U.S., with the earliest sightings in Buchanan, Missouri, in, like, I think it was 1832. But it's been a lot. I mean, this is according to, you know, when it started. The researchers' organization started in 1995. So the states with the largest sightings are Washington State with 643, California with 437, and Florida with 314. And
Florida.
There, that's according to, yeah, Florida. Yeah, well, not Florida, I know. I was like, okay, that's amazing. I went through and I found out that they found a couple. There have been two. I went through Maryland because I used to live in Maryland. Oh, wait, you can contact the Bigfoot Research Association if you're interested and contact us, us being in capital letters, at capital letters BFRO.net. And so that was, you know, that was a, that if you're interested, you know, it's kind of like the ghost searchers, you know, people go out and look. You know, it's kind of a great time to get together, I'm sure. Anyway, so in Maryland, there was in 1976 at around Laurel, Maryland, and around Beltsville, where they have the USDA research station there, there was a Bigfoot encounter around there. Guy was had his car, and he saw one guy running across the street. He was going up, I think it was, I mean, 198, and so that area around here. And somebody else said he was camping in that area, and he heard somebody knocking on wood, and then he started knocking back. Because the way they Bigfoot communicates is through yelps and howls. They do knocking on wood to talk to each other. And from what an earlier article said is they also, like, if you're going down trails, they'll put sticks in the trails, I guess, to kind of signal other types of their, you know, other types of their species. And or they'll put, like, glyphs down of twigs and stuff against a tree so they can signal each other, which would make sense. Montgomery, I want to say North Carolina. So there was 35 sightings in Maryland so far. In North Carolina, there's been 96 Bigfoot sightings. So you have those, you know, you have those mountains back there. Maryland, and I was surprised, Pennsylvania, there was one in, like, Chester County, which they heard the howl of the Bigfoot. So let me go back to this Bigfoot research, field researchers organization. You can go on there, and you can find all the Bigfoot sightings in the United States. I mean, all of them. You can click on a state. They'll give you the year, what happened, what was the situation. Like, there was one where I came across where one guy was driving down the road, I think it was New York, and he saw a Bigfoot carrying a deer across the street, and he accidentally hit it. And he was too afraid to go get out of his car to find out if, you know, what happened to it. He's, you know, they're all the same thing, bad smelling, 6 to 8 feet tall, anywhere between 500 and 800 pounds, color fur of, I think it's black, brown, or red. That's the three colors of fur there. That's the three colors of fur there. And, I'm not sure if they're lower down on the echelon as far as vibration goes. They don't go around shooting each other. let's talk about this. I mean, they're not into the technology. They're not shooting each other. So I'm not sure who's higher up on scale here, you know, right now. There is this woman in Crestline in last March in Arrowhead. It was Joe Nelson wrote this, and it was the Orange County Registry. And there's this woman in Crestline woman who, Claudia Akeley, she was going down the trails with her girls at about 6:30 or 7:30 at night. It was March 27th. March 27th, I think, of last year. And she looked up in a tree. The girls actually saw it first. And up, like 30 feet up in the tree, was a Bigfoot up there. I mean, just up there. And she sat, and she's one of these people that does the research for Bigfoot. And she said the head was three times the size of a human's head, and he had a barrel-like chest, and he looked like a Neanderthal man with hair all over, and he had no expressionless face. But he didn't show teeth. Usually, an animal show teeth when they're going to bear at you. He didn't show teeth. She started making a howling and a whooping sound, and the creature reacted by rocking back and forth and shaking the branches on the trees. Now, you know, people asked her if it was a bear, but she said there were no bear claws going up the trees. And she's been a Bigfoot enthusiast and researcher of more than 20 years. So she teamed up with documentary filmmaker Todd Standing, and there's a Netflix film called Discovering Bigfoot. And they went ahead and they're suing San Bernardino. They're you know, filing a lawsuit in San Bernardino Superior Court in January, on January 18th. And the lawsuit alleges that California Department of Fish and Wildlife and the State of Natural and the Natural Resource Agency have been neglect in their duty by not acknowledging the existence of Sasquatch species. And despite the amount of scientific evidence that's going up. And she feels that by not telling the public that they could be endangering the public. So she took the reporter where she saw it, and there was no claw marks going up the tree. And she leaves stuff for the Bigfoot because she's hoping to communicate. Like, she'll leave apples, oranges, Fritos, can of Coca-Cola, a voice-activated book with pictures inside to communicate. She records words
Coca-Cola.
Such as candy. I mean, he'd probably just squish it and not understand, candy and fur. And she's got, pictures there, pictures that she's trying to communicate with the animal. The other signs that point to a Bigfoot are snap tree branches. As I said, sticks positioned in various patterns against trees or on the ground. And they said usually the Bigfoot's population is in Northern California, and it's not in the San Bernardino Mountains. I mean, it's not that close to population. So I guess that's – and they said that they believe that this article said that they believe that Bigfoot came from Asia and made its way through the Bering Straits to the northwest of the United States. They said that it's believed to have evolved from a giant primitive ape, and I'm not sure about it. I think it's kind of more humanoid. And they're nocturnal. They're highly intelligent creatures, and they're very skilled at being undetected by humans. They try to stay out of the way of humans. The name Bigfoot came from an article in the Humboldt Times in 1958. And the species was even acknowledged by President Theodore Roosevelt in his book, The Wilderness Hunter, published in 1892, according to this woman's lawsuit. She, puts up some things there according to her lawsuit. So, I did read, it's copyrighted, that Bigfoot researchers' site, the Bigfoot, research. It's copyrighted, but they do put in there, if you want to go to the site, it's pretty cool because it has the different hoots and howls. They compare, like, a Bigfoot's hoot with a coyote, so you can tell the difference, and they talk about the legends among the Indians of Bigfoot. They talk about how there was in different Indian, American Indian or Native American Indian cultures that Bigfoot was revered and thought to be, part animal and part man. So that you guys can look up yourself there. It's a pretty interesting site to go through. I did catch something on YouTube about this woman, her name was, it's the YouTube video is Native Americans Traumatized After Killing Bigfoot, and it's by Bigfoot Evidence. And it happened in Indian Town. So go on the YouTube site and see what happens. I mean, it's just how this one Bigfoot was terrorizing the community and how he actually took somebody out of the community, and the elders and everybody went after him and got the guy and had to shoot him. So that's interesting. So her thought is it's not magic. It's not an animal. It's just, a type of a human, and that's the way it needs to be treated.
Yes. So, interestingly enough, I found a website, which is a different one, and it's called the SasquatchGenomeProject.org.
Okay.
And I just want to read you what the founder, Dr. Melba S. Ketchum, says. Okay? I want to read you this. They actually have a still photo of Matilda, is her name, and it is a Sasquatch that they have photographed. They've got video evidence and DNA evidence from this being. Okay, this is what the doctor says. It has been a long and tedious battle to prove that Sasquatch exists. We have had the proof for 8 years now, but building enough data to convince mainstream science has taken a lot of time. Trying to publish took almost 2 years. It seems mainstream science just can't seem to tolerate something controversial, especially from a group of primarily forensic scientists and not famous academians aligned with large universities, even though most of our sequencing and analysis was performed at just such facilities. We encountered the worst scientific bias in the peer review process in recent history. I'm calling it the Galileo effect. Several journals.
I was just thinking of Galileo.
Yeah.
said that.
Several journals wouldn't even read our manuscript when we sent them a pre-submission inquiry. Another one leaked our peer reviews. We were even mocked by one reviewer in his peer review. We finally found a new journal that accepted our paper and had it peer reviewed using blind peer reviews, which we passed. However, we had to acquire this journal when they backed out of publishing our manuscript 5 minutes before it was supposed to go live in order to keep our passing peer reviews obtained by this journal. Okay, so basically, this whole website, it's unbelievable. It just gives me the chills. They call them people. In fact, they say,
yeah,
protecting the Sasquatch people. And they
yeah.
have a bumper sticker, which I want to put on my car if I can find it. It says, let Sasquatch watch the land, walk the land. And let me just read this. The Sasquatch people are more like us and they are different. The Sasquatch people have their own language, traditions, and rituals. They live in family units. They order their lives according to the laws of their people, and they bury their dead. Yet, the Sasquatch people are captivating because of their physical, genetic, and cultural differences. Sadly, these special traits also make them uniquely vulnerable to those who would see in their unusual lifestyle or appearance a justification to harass, trap, or even kill them. Your compassion and understanding will be vital to protect the Sasquatch people. And this totally goes with what the records told me about them being from another planet. Because if you look, there is a picture on this website of like this teepee thing that they made out of trees, like a shelter.
Okay.
I mean, so, you know, and the information, when I did my channeling, my private channeling Friday about this, my spirit guides actually said to me that we are not supposed to treat them like animals, like trapping them,
no.
trying to trap them. They're humans. They're humanoid.
Yeah, that's the thing is, okay, suppose they do. Yeah, well, suppose they do, you know, they do get found out and they do get, you know, I mean, then what happens after that? I mean, it's just better not to be found. Are we ready to deal with that? Because it's going to, because we, you know, are we ready to deal with that? They're fine with it. They've eluded us. They're living their lives. They're doing their thing. They're in tune. They're probably more in tune with nature than we'll ever be, you know?
Absolutely.
So, you know, there's no reason. I mean, we would like scientific evidence that they're there, but then after that, what happens? I mean, you know, that's...
Well, can I make an analogy?
I trust them. I just don't trust us.
Well, of course. And the thing is, like, I make the analogy of last... I think it was last year or the year before. Something came into my newsfeed that they had found... an Amazonian tribe in the Amazon jungle that had never had human contact before. And they had a video of them. And it was a tiny little biplane. And I mean, we are talking smack in the middle of the Amazon jungle, which not even a lot of people can get there. You know what I'm saying? Because it takes
right.
like days and days to even walk in there. So it was a British researcher that took the video footage, and I'll post it on Unseen Realms so you can see. But these beings were totally naked. The men had a little, like, kind of loincloth thing on, but the women were totally naked. They all had, like, the same haircut. It was like a bowl cut. you know, like a bowl cut straight around with bangs, black hair. And they lived in these like log, thatched roof long houses. And you could tell that the women were, you know, the men had hunted. There was animals hung outside, just like the indigenous Indians of North America way back. And
right.
I just kept thinking to myself, oh my gosh, like how depressing is this to think that now, you know, if humans interacted with them, we bring disease and death. And the internet, they're probably better off without it, you know.
The kids are getting more, the kids are learning more than they probably would learn. Yeah, it's so quote unquote civilization. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at is, you know, live and let live. And, you know, it'd be nice to find out if they were out there, but I pretty much want to keep it a secret too. If I knew they were absolutely there, say hi, you know, you live your life, I live my life, and that's that.
Well, I really recommend going to this website. Again, it's called the Sasquatch Genome, or just SasquatchGenomeProject.org. They have the most unbelievable video footage and a still of her name is Matilda. And it's unbelievable. I mean, it really is. There's evidence right here.
I checked and
out. And they have a hair sample.
I checked out... you know, sightings in Europe. And there was a sighting up in, I don't want to say, is it Luxembourg? There was a sighting up there. There's a guy, you know, taking a video of running in the snow after somebody up there. And I think there was a sighting in the Pyrenees Mountains and Germany. So I looked up some sightings there, you know, around Europe. So the thing of it is, it gets me, is these beings are like reported all over the world. I mean, they're, you know, everybody reports seeing them. Nobody's been able to catch them lately. It's kind of like the Loch Ness Monster, you know, but not, I don't want to say catch them, but nobody's had, you know. Another thing for me is, well, with all the video equipment that we have and how great the cameras are, why aren't the pictures in focus? I mean, that was something that, you know, with all we have, and a lot of amazing video, and is it that they can smell us and they just move out of sight really quickly, or what's the deal? Because we don't have that much video of them, that in the way of video of them. And that's, you know, there's my scientist going in is, you know, well, where's the videos?
Well, the most famous video is the 1967. It's called the Patterson-Gimlin Bigfoot footage, which is usually the one they show on all the shows. But I'm telling you, on this website, they have two videos. One is from... one is from Matilda and the other one is from Eastern Tennessee and a still of Matilda. And let me tell you, she looks just like Chewbacca. I mean, it's unbelievable. She looks just like Chewbacca. And I really think that's what George Lucas was trying to tell us is, you know, there was a planet in our solar system which eight beings lived on. And in the most recent Star Wars movie, they go to Chewbacca's home planet and they show you all these things. Yeah. Yeah. In the most recent Star Wars movie. And you know, the Star Wars movies are just an analogy to what's really exists in the universe anyway. So, in case you didn't know that, people out there, there's a reason why you're connecting with those movies, you don't even know why, but, you know, it's real.
Yeah.
It's real.
Yeah.
And some of us have actually experienced them, so.
Do we have any callers?
No, we don't.
Oh, okay. No. All right. People are probably like, wow, I've seen
Bigfoot
so many times. They can't tell me anything I already don't know.
Yeah, and that's okay. And I kind of figured that would be the case today, that we wouldn't have people interested. But I'll tell you what, we needed to speak our truth about Bigfoot because, honestly, it is a race of humans and they are from another planet. They escaped when their planet blew up. They came to Earth about 700,000 years ago. And they're real. And, you know, people know this, and that this is why, and I had no idea that this was going on, but people are really passionate about it. They want to be recognized as a species and protected, you know, just like anything, any species that we haven't discovered yet on the planet, that we want to protect them. So,
well, didn't you tell me the other day that they lived underground?
Yeah, they did say that, I think, during the reading too, didn't they? That they live underground, and that's probably why we don't see them. And listen, I just want to say something here. If you're living in Washington State with how cold it is, you would have to have a dwelling underground. Because you would freeze to death. You would have to have something. So, and you know, we're learning this more and more and more as we go down the rabbit hole with archaeology, that they have found all kinds of underground civilizations now in many countries. So I wouldn't be surprised if they had their own underground civilization, just like the other ones do.
Right.
So,
right.
That's probably another pretty cool. Yeah, that's a very good point, Grace. That's probably why it's hard to find them, because they live underground.
Yeah,
in the middle
they come
of the
out. Yeah, we wouldn't be able to see it, and they would be. And you know, there can be some real, you know, it can be extensive, the caverns and things like that underground.
Oh, yeah.
And they're nocturnal, too. They said they're nocturnal. The woman this Claudia Ackley, said she saw 6 or 7:30 at night. So you mostly see them during, you know, during nighttime and things like that. And didn't you say that they were psychic? Were you the one that said they were highly psychic? That's why they haven't been seen?
I don't know. I channeled it on Friday, and I can't always remember everything I channel, but I just remember that they can have, they're very interdimensional as well, is what they said. They're interdimensional. So that's another reason why they can kind of appear and reappear in these different places. So, yeah, there's so much more to Earth beings than we even realize. And I think as part of the golden age of Gaia, that this information is coming forward, that there's all kinds of beings that live on this planet underneath, you know, in the middle of the Earth and other locations. I mean, there's plasma beings that people have talked about. Drumbelow talked about the plasma beings. You know, we have friends that have channeled the plasma beings. And then, of course, there's the higher dimensional beings that live under Mount Shasta. And there's also a race of beings called the Agarthans. Yeah, so I have a shaman friend that lives in D.C., and she actually told me a personal story of seeing an Agarthan being. And they smell like mulch and kind of like leaves, you know, that smell of leaves and mulch.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, they'll come to the surface, but they live underground too.
I mean, are they beings like people beings, or do you see like your mulch start to move?
No, they're like beings. Yeah, they're tall. She said they're tall, like 7 feet.
Oh, really?
And appeared in her backyard. Yeah. Kind of startled her, but she knew what it was. She knew what it was, and then it went away.
Shamanism is such a great tool to have, such an absolutely great tool to have.
Yeah. You know, and,
you know,
again, it's like, you know, maybe some of these things that people are seeing, they could be Agarthans too, because they look like Agarthans in a way. But Agarthans,
what does Agarthan look like?
Agarthans.
Oh, okay. They look like, okay, the Sasquatch Yeti looks like an Agarthan.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. I didn't know that.
But the Agarthans, I don't know that they're hairy. I don't know. I shouldn't make that assumption. I don't know exactly. But
I'll have to go check them.
They're in the physical. I know they're in the physical.
Okay.
But I don't know if they're hairy or not, like that.
I'll have to go look that up on the computer tomorrow. Garthans. I've never heard of them.
Yeah. It's AGARTHANS.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Let's see. Is there anything else that we want to say about Sasquatch? Again, I highly recommend going to that website, looking at these pictures. I was absolutely blown away by this. I was blown away. I mean, if you ever had doubt that they really exist. And you know what? I just want to share something, too, because, of course, everything that comes in is always synchronistic. But this morning in my news feed was also an interview with a scientist that went to Peru to study the Peruvian skulls.
All right.
I forget the official name for them. But I think there are these skulls that have the elongated heads. A lot of times,
right,
like in the UFO shows on History Channel, they'll show these skulls.
Right. Isn't there like 8 around the world? And I think one was found, and there's a lot of information that comes off of these crystal skulls.
Oh, they're not crystal. They're actually skeletons. They're skeleton skulls. Oh, yeah, that's a whole other thing, though. We should do a show on that, too, actually, the crystal skulls. But good point. But these are actually skeletons that they found in Peru, and they have elongated heads, okay? And we should do a show on this, actually. But the guy that it was on Third Phase of the Moon on YouTube channel, and they went down there to Peru to shoot a film, a documentary about them doing the DNA research of these skulls. And do you know that they are trying to squelch the information? They don't even want people to know about this. But the guy said that the scientists don't want anything to do with it, because basically they've proven that the DNA from these skulls came from Europe. Now, these skulls date back like 4,000 or 5,000 years ago.
Okay.
So how do people from Europe get to South America? Do you see what I mean? It's like
everything
we've been told is such BS about how we think the world was, you know. Like how we think the world, you know, that the British discovered America, right?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you know, we already know that the Vikings were here thousands and thousands of years before the British ever came here. We know that for a fact.
Right.
And now we've got evidence that these beings with elongated heads were from Europe.
Right.
Well, how do we in the Middle East? Well, how do we reconcile that one? You know, because we said, oh, well, we didn't even have sailing ships until the Polynesians figured that out. Wrong.
Yeah. I know. I know. You could spend your life on the Gaia Channel. The problem is then you're like, then you don't trust anybody afterwards because you're like, I've been lied to my entire life. Oh!
I know. Wow, absolutely. Gaia Channel.
And you just, you know, you look at it and you just, I don't want to do these things anymore. I'm going to eat meat on Fridays, darn it.
Yeah, so.
For those of you, it was Ash Wednesday last Wednesday. So, you know, those of you who are doing your 40 days.
Yeah, so did you give up anything for Lent?
Well, I don't look at Lent as a giving up of something, okay? I look at Lent as a growth period. I mean, 40 days, it's a growth period, which means, like, you know, if somebody's getting on my nerves, I go, I'm not going to get upset. This is the way they are. You know, this is Lent, and I have to – it's me to grow, not them. So I don't look at – because I don't understand how stopping candy or stopping anything is going to help me grow.
But sitting down instead of reacting to a situation and just, you know, looking at a situation and taking it and going, okay, so how am I going to grow through this situation? That's going to help me.
Yeah. Yeah,
because,
I feel
you. You know, giving up candy, that, all right, fine, that's just going to make me, it's not going to make me crazy because I can do that. That's not a problem. But it's not going to help me kind of grow. It's, you know, keeping meditation, working on, maybe working out a little bit more, you know, trying a bit harder and things like that. And also taking care of myself. Because this is, you know, this is a period lately. I don't know if anybody's seen this, but it seems like a lot more people are going a little crazy. I don't know how to put that, you know. People are kind of losing it a bit more. They're more excitable. They're more anxious. Here, I got to tell you, in France, where I'm from, Condé Saint-Nibiel, you can see it on YouTube. We had rain for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. I mean, weeks. And the Marne River started to flood. And we had flooding down in Espley, around where I am. And there's houses all down there flooded. And then we had 3 days of snow. I think I talked about this last week. And there was, like, no food on the shelves because they didn't have the trucks going out, so there was no food on the shelves. So, you know, people are a little, you know, now the food's back on the shelves and stuff like that. But I'm like, oh, wow, look how fast that cleared away. You know, that was pretty amazing how fast that cleared. So,
well,
I think.
Yeah, so listen, speaking of people going crazy, I just pulled up Facebook because I posted the link for the Sasquatch Genome Project.
Right.
And listen, it says bloodbath, cruise liner brawl sends guests fleeing to cabins. Brawl breaks out on a cruise ship after passenger steps on flip-flops.
Yeah, that kind of
I mean,
you know, and the
23 passengers removed from cruise ship after brawls.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that ridiculous?
It is ridiculous. It is. A lot of stuff is ridiculous lately. And so you got to kind of sit back, you know, and kind of take it into account, watch, you know, the shooting the other day and all that stuff, hug your kids a bit tighter, tell them you love them, you know, if you see a problem, tell somebody. And, you know, that's kind of what I'm talking about. It's things are just kind of going crazy lately. And that's kind of what I see. You know, it's kind of driving me more into meditation and more into prayer and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, that's how we need to react to it, is just send it love and light.
Yeah, or send it up to the angels or send it love and light and all that stuff. I mean, that's not the only way we can react to it, but that's, you know, one of the best ways to react to it.
And listen, there's a program that you can run and you say floodlight. Floodlight will just...
Floodlight?
Totally. Floodlight, yeah. It will zing people with light. Just a little tip that I learned from the shaman. We use floodlight.
Yeah,
and it's just a program that you run if you say that word.
Right. So speaking about things that, you know, things people don't know about, like, you know, we do Seraphim Blueprint, and Seraphim Blueprint, they talk about the nuclear war between the moon and the earth a long, long time ago. And that there was a nuclear war. That's why the moon looks the way it does. And there's a lot of things that if you go back in and you look that, you know, people aren't going to talk about, but it's there.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's
so,
what I would say to people is, I forget who said this the other day, was some channeling I listened to. Some whistleblower, but they basically said that almost like 90% of the information that we're taught is not even true.
Right.
It's either not true or it's just like just scratching the surface of what's true. You know,
they give
us just enough so that we don't go insane. But, they don't tell us anything. And let me just say something else. The other thing, which I know is true, in Egypt especially, they've been finding things in Egypt, and Project Camelot has talked about this, which is a great website, Project Camelot, and it's on YouTube. They talk to these people that see the stuff going on in Egypt, these digs, and they're bringing stuff out. We think it's ancient technologies because they're bringing them out in these huge trucks, and they're like, it's like out of a movie. I mean, and they put the stuff in the trucks, and, you know, and it's all like guarded, you know, there's guards, there's fences with black plastic so that no one can see what they're taking out. This is going on today still. And, I'll just be very happy when they finally tell us what's under the Vatican too. You know, they've got all kinds of stuff in the Vatican.
Yeah.
Of course, they talked about that in the movie, the Da Vinci Code. You know, there's a whole museum there.
I have to watch that again. I'll have to sit back and watch it again. Yeah, so
because
hopefully people will be able to take this in stride and adapt.
And the other thing about the Vatican is the, you know, the Romans, they, you know, ransacked the Alexandria Library before they burned it. So they, who knows what they got out of the Alexandria Library that they took back to Italy, you know. Go ahead.
I must have had a lifetime there because everybody, they talk about burning that library. I just go, ooh, inside. I do. I must have had a lifetime there because I react every time somebody talks about burning that library.
I know. Me too. Me too. It was awful.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing people don't realize, too. I just thought of this the other day while you were talking about that, is that lots of times when we're going through history books, you know, and if we're, like, suppose you're a kid and you're learning history, and there's a period, like bubonic plague, you just don't want to see. I mean, you just don't want to look at it, or slavery or something like that. Chances are you might have had a past life there, and it's almost impossible for you to, like, read this stuff. You know, World War One, it hits a chord, and you just don't want to do it. Or if there's a language that you don't want to learn, chances are you've had a past life there, and some part of you, because all our lives are happening at the same time, is going, yeah, no, I don't want to go back there again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, you love the Revolutionary War. Well, that was a great lifetime for me. I want to go back there again. So, you know, you just devour everything you can about the Revolutionary War. You know, but, you know, you find that in the time of Mary, Queen of Scots and all that, you just don't want to go there. And you're like, no, I was part of the people at the court, and I lost my head a few times. Ended up in prison. I don't want to do that. And you know, look at that stuff, because if that is pushing your buttons, then you probably were there in that past life.
Yeah. Well, I did a reading one time for a woman that had an extreme fear of dungeons. Well, we all kind of do, but I mean, it was just over the top fear and, you know, enclosed spaces and stuff like that. And we went back into her records and found out that she had been tortured. Now, one of the things that they used to do, and they even did this in the Tower of London, because I talked to one of the beefeaters about this once. They used to just put people in these rooms and they would forget about them. Okay. Absolutely horrible. They wouldn't even, you know, feed them or anything. They just would throw them away in these horrible dungeons and forget about them. I mean, can you imagine? Like, don't even kill them, right? At least, you know, give them a gun to the head or something. They would just throw them away, like, and forget. I mean, can you even imagine? And the first time I went to the Tower of London, And I wasn't
that
really
must be
even
hard for you.
On the, I wasn't even on the spiritual path full force yet. I was kind of more asleep. And I just remember feeling horrible when I left that place. There were just so many discarnates walking around, and oh my gosh. Have you
another
ever been
thing
to the
too,
tower?
Yeah. No, I haven't
Have you been
to the
here?
Tower of London, but but yeah. As you said before, is that, you know, when you die in a place, you might leave part of your soul there. So this is what soul retrieval is about. You know,
right.
There's a piece of you walking, still walking around there that's still looking for, you know, still doesn't know that you're dead. You know, the rest of your soul has moved on. So this is what this whole thing about soul retrieval is about.
Yeah. Yep.
And
yeah, and you know, the soul retrieval thing, if you ever talk to shamans, people that have been shamans in a past life or have gone to classes, that's a big part of shamanic work is soul retrieval. And it's definitely a good tool to have in your tool belt if you don't have that tool to be able to go get people's souls.
Okay, so people are going, okay, well, soul retrieval, what will that do for me? So what does a soul retrieval do for somebody besides adding a piece of their soul? I mean, what does that do?
If you think about it, like, energetically, you have a discarnate walking around in another dimension, in another lifetime. It's sucking the energy from you. It's like an energy leak. So a lot of times, you know, you will have clients that feel drained, tired, fibromyalgia, stuff like that, because they've got this soul spark that's kind of like sucking their energy. Still connected to them, but it's not. It's just kind of like roaming the earth aimlessly. It doesn't have like a soul mission or anything. So it's just kind of like an image. They're saying corporeal image that's just kind of walking around, like, aimlessly.
You told me about a couple of slave past lifetimes that I had. And one,
yeah.
I hate cream corn. I cannot stand cream corn. That and beans, I'm just like, oh. And apparently in this lifetime, you know, it had to do with a certain family member who's passed. And and I'm not really crazy about peanuts either. And apparently I was a slave on a peanut farm. And twice, and one time we just fed cream corn the entire time. And I remember you did the soul retrieval for me, and I did feel like a new part of myself had kind of shown up. You know, there was two kind of left back there. So it does kind of help. Or relationships that you've had with people in past lives, and you still have the cords hanging off your back from that past life. So, you know, you get rid of the boyfriend. You've gotten rid of the boyfriend, but you don't understand why you're still kind of checking him out on Facebook or things like that. And you're like, I don't even like this person. Why am I going back there? You know, but it's something that's resonating from a past life that you haven't gotten rid of yet. And they see it. You saw it as cords on my back, and you were just kind of taking the cords off because you weren't the first one that had seen the cords on the back. And I'm thinking, okay, I've done all this work with Archangel Michael, cutting the cords, you know, clearing the cords, Archangel Raphael. How do I still have cords on my back? No, it's from a past life. That's, you know, and once the cords were cut from these people in the past life, then there's no more need to check the Facebook page. Then I don't worry about them anymore. It's like, okay, it's gone.
Yeah, and you know what? Another interesting thing that I've noticed in this work is a lot of times if you've cut all the cords with someone, you can't even remember what their name is anymore. I did this morning. I was reviewing my blocked list on Facebook, and there was this guy that I was like, ooh, is he blocked or not? Because I'm just like updating my block list because I have had some weird people lately. And I was like, I can't even remember what his name is. What's his name?
Well, another way to block people is the, because a family member this week had, you know, run in with some bullies from last year, and they just it just showed out of the blue. So a friend of ours told me about taking the names. You write the name three times, and you state your intention. I wish to block this person from my lifetime, with blessings and all harm to none. And then you fold up the paper and you stick it in water. You fold up the paper, you take like a Tupperware box or a ice tray, and you put water over it and stick it in the freezer. And it effectively keeps that person from showing up in your life. Neither one of you gets hurt, but it keeps that person from showing up in your life. They told me, they said they may show up in your life if the connection is really strong and they want to, you know, see you, then they may show up once or twice, but after that, it's finished. It's done. They won't be back in your life anymore.
Yeah.
So people kind of look at you, no, I'm going to go freeze this person. So there's about six in the freezer downstairs. Nice way. It's a very nice way of keeping people out of your life or saying, you know, nasty stuff about them. You just you don't block them as yourself. It's just block the connection between you and that person. Yeah, put them on ice. That's a nice way of saying
it. Not literally.
No.
I mean, listen.
No, you're just taking the name and you're keeping them from.
People are gonna start emailing us saying you're murdered.
You're putting their name in. And she said you can burn it or you can flush it down the toilet. And I'm thinking, because then each time you flush the toilet, you're making the person go further and further away from you. And I'm like, I don't want them clogging up my toilet. Let them go in the freezer for a while, and then maybe when I'm older I can deal with it. So I thought that was kind of cute. But I have seen things where when you have a problem with somebody, like if you can't talk to them, if it's somebody that you've had a lot of problems with, you can write them a letter. You sit with a candle and you write them a letter and you tell them everything that happened and how you're feeling and all that stuff. And then you burn the letter, and apparently the thoughts go to them, and then the relationship is finished.
Yes.
So that's another nice thing to do, too.
Yeah. Okay, well, it looks like we're coming up on 5 o'clock here, so I think we should.
And we don't have any callers, right?
No.
Okay, so we'll catch all you people from Facebook. We'll catch all you people later. And, you know, if you're listening to the MP3, God bless you all.
God bless
and we'll
everyone.
Talk to you next week. We'll talk to you next
all right.
week. Bye.
Take care.
Bye from us. Bye. Take care. Bye.
Bye.